Blog Talk Radio.
Pastor Timar and Tusila. Hi, Tusila. How are you today?
Hello. I want to say hi to all our friends and family all over the world. God bless you. Thank you for calling in and tuning in and checking in on your computer and getting on Blog Talk. God bless you all.
Yeah. Yes, indeed. And, you know, as always, you know, those of you who are listening, do not forget to call some friends and family members and tell them to dial in. We're going to have a really good program tonight. And you know the number to dial in is the same number that you dialed in, 646-668-8537. That's 646-668-8537. Send somebody an inbox or text them or tell them to get on their computer if they see our post on Facebook, Tumblr, or Twitter. To just go ahead and click the picture of Timar and Tusila, and you can listen to the entire program. The entire program from beginning to end. On just sit back and relax on your computer anytime during the show. You can listen during the show or any day and time after the show. So it's going to be a lot of fun. So get ready for it. Let's see if there's anything else. Okay, there's nothing else I want to announce right now, but I can hear something, Pastor Tusila. I hear it. I hear it. Where is it? What that mean, everybody? That mean it's time for something special. It's time for a TNT moment. Hallelujah. TNT moment. And here we go. Okay, Pastor Tusila, what do we have for today?
Well, a lot of people want to know, what is apostasy? They see that word in the Bible, but and, you know, they want to know, what does that mean regarding, you know, the Lord and your walk? Well, it's an abandonment of your belief system, basically, is what it is. And it's the act of refusing to continue to follow, obey, or recognize your faith in Christ Jesus. Apostasy and backsliding, a lot of people know that word because they always say, oh, they backslid. Apostasy and backsliding are what we call falling, is what we all call falling away. So put it in layman's terms, It's when a person turns from God to pursue their own desires. And you could say that it's a person that begins to embrace an opinion that's contrary to God's ways and opinion. They leave their first love and start taking
right.
on the way of the world. And I'll just say, for instance, that, you know, God made the human race in his own image and likeness, yet a lot of people go along with evil men trying to mingle the human race with the animal kingdom. And
that's
because
right.
they already
that's
believe
true.
In evolution. You know, a lot of people believe in
right.
evolution. But we, the human race, did not evolve from animals. We were created by an
right.
almighty God, a
great
yes, almighty God. Jesus, the Father, and the Holy Spirit said, let us make man. So mingling the human race with the animal kingdom is a disgrace to God and the Godhead. Mingling bats and swine pigs and changing DNA and RNA markers and creating hybrids. And I remember today I read something, Pastor T, that was so horrific. And I wrote this already, but I was just scrolling, and I saw where they did the first pig's heart for a human being today.
Yeah.
And all these things.
Yeah, you were telling me.
I was showing it. It was like, what in the world is going on? When God wants the human race to remain in his image and likeness. 2 Thessalonians
exactly.
says, Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and the gathering together to him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in your mind or troubled, neither by spirit nor by the word or letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had came. So let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first, and a man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above God, above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. The coming of lawlessness, one, they call him, is according to the workings of Satan with all powers and lying wonders and with all unrighteousness,
right.
deception among those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this reason, because of all it is, God will send them strong delusion, and we do see a lot of people in delusion today, that they should believe the lie. It says he's going to bring them in strong delusion so they could believe the lie. What's the lie? The lie is the lie that the world is telling you. And it could go into many areas, but one of them is the one I just showed you about mingling humans with animals, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Unbelief is another monster, Pastor T.
Yeah,
and it causes
is.
A great, yeah, something else that causes a great falling away. Hebrews 3 says, an unbelieving heart is wicked, and that sin causes unbelief. Unbelief steals your vision of your destiny. A lot of people always say, what am I supposed to do? Where am I supposed to go? What am I supposed to do, this or that or that? Well, unbelief, just faith in the Lord, and he'll guide your way. And unbelief steals your destiny. Unbelief caused the children of Israel to walk around for an extra 40 years. Even Jesus left the building when he sensed unbelief. And I love that when he said he could do no works because there was unbelief in the, and we
right.
see that a lot, but it's a little dirty secret among Christians too. A lot of Christians have a lot of unbelief. But John 3:33 says, whoever receives His testimony, the Lord's testimony, mm-hmm. sets his seal to this, that God is true. So my personal advice to this is don't get so busy with your own desires that you're not living in Psalms 91, which is abiding in the secret place or building up your inner man and its most holy faith by praying in tongues, reading and seeking his face and waiting to hear his voice. It says, they that are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. Come on, saints, strengthen and encourage yourself in the Lord. You are the overcomers. You will overcome. You have overcame this worldly system through your continual faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So build up, renew, and God will restore all that was lost and that you have lost already. But a lot of people I've noticed are broken and in this yeah. world. And broken things are always despised and thrown out. Anything we no longer need, we throw away. Damaged goods are rejected, and that includes people. In marriages, when relationships break down, the tendency is to walk away and find someone else new rather than to work at reconciliations. But it's so interesting because the world is full of people with broken hearts. And if you go to the store, you go to, I don't care where you go, you just, and you could just see it in people's faces, broken spirit mm-hmm. and broken relationships. But Psalms 34:18 says, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and save those Amen. Who are crushed in spirit. There's something about reaching a breaking point that causes us to seek the Lord more sincerely. As King David was broken, he cried out to the Lord because he was broken also. We see many people in the scriptures that were broken, and we've all been broken and built back up before. Mm-hmm. But when King David was broke down, he said, Lord, create in me, O Lord, a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit in me. There are some things in our life that needs to be broken. Sometimes some things do need to be broken, like pride and self-will and stubbornness mm-hmm. and sinful habits. The Lord is so good, mm-hmm. though, that when he sees that we are broken, that even when we feel our own brokenness, he is there to compensate for it. Because he knows it. He sees it. He knows how people are feeling out there. So don't feel like no one understands. And a lot of times people feel like, I don't know if I could go. You can go on. The Lord is with you. He sees and he knows all things and will never leave you nor forsake you. So don't separate from him. Draw near. Right. Stay close. Don't fall away. God can't take what is broken. He can always take the tore up and used up and beat up and the broken things and make it into something better. So just because sometimes we break and we fall, it doesn't mean he can't renew, restore, rebuild, and bring us back new again. So don't give up. Right, Brother T?
That's absolutely right. You know, the thing is that you don't want to turn away. That's apostasy then when you turn away. But you stay with it. You know, another example of apostasy is when someone decides to become an atheist. You know, there's so many reasons and so many ways, reasons why people turn their back. Some of them decide to be an atheist. After knowing the Lord, now all of a sudden you're an atheist. Well, did you really know the Lord in the first place? Or when someone abandoned their faith in God and turned to false gods, you know, other religions, like turning to witchcraft, Satanism, and any other belief or lifestyle that's against the true word and will of God. And, you know, I've known some Christians that dabbled into witchcraft and calling themselves Christians, but they still are dabbling in witchcraft. you know, that will for sure cause your heart to change. And the next thing you know, you are abandoning your love for Christ, your faith in Jesus, and all of that. All throughout the Bible, the Lord, he constantly tells his people to never turn their backs on him. He tries to warn them of the dangers of forsaking him. But many people, many Christians, just don't listen. They don't take heed. The pull of the world, the pull of the world is too powerful for them. So they give in to the devilish urges and turn from the living God to demons. Just like today.
Yeah.
Here's a good example. Today, all Christians know that the Halloween season represents satanic rituals, demonic sacrifices, abortions, killings. It's the day of the witch. It's a witchcraft holiday. It's for witches. It's a day of satanic darkness. Yet you have Christians not only having Halloween parties, but going to Halloween parties and celebrating the day with you know, with their kids, with candy and all of that kind of stuff, you know, trick or treat, you know, all of that. You know, I mean, okay.
Right.
All right, I know. I did it again. I made somebody mad. But, I mean, come on, let's be real. We're not playing church here. We got to be the church, and we got to see things for what it is and call it out. The writers of Hebrew, I'm sorry, not writers, but the writer of Hebrews tried to warn Christians about continually sinning. Hebrews 10, verse 26, if we deliberately keep on sinning after we have received the knowledge of the truth, no sacrifice for sins is left. If you keep sinning after you have the knowledge of truth, then there's no more sacrifice left. Jesus died once and for all, but only a fearful expectation of judgment and of raging fire that will consume the enemies of God. Christians, if you continually keep living a lifestyle of sin, then you're going to be put in the place of the enemies of God who shall be judged. Christians don't, you know, the thing about it, Pastor Tasila, Christians don't really understand what they're doing when they forsake the Lord. I really don't think they know the depths of what they're doing. They don't know that all the good that they did before they turned their backs on the Lord will be forgotten. Read Ezekiel 18, verse 24. You'll see all the good you did won't even come to remembrance. But the evil you do is what's standing out. If you are a Christian and you are struggling with a desire to live in sin or to go back into the world, I beg you to listen to me. Don't do it. Don't turn your back on the Lord. You will regret it. Once you turn away, it is very hard to get back on track. It will be a tough struggle to get back, even tougher than the little mental struggle that you're having right now to sin. You know, you're struggling right now. Should I go back into the world? I want to go in the world. I want to stay here. I know, you know, you're going through a mental struggle. But all that takes is discipline. Just discipline yourself and stay with the Lord. Stay with the Lord, because you will fall into a curse if you turn away from him. Now, understand what I'm saying. I'm not saying that if somebody made a mistake, you know, we're not perfect. If somebody made a mistake, come on, you're a Christian, you made a mistake, you get up, you ask the Lord to forgive you, you repent, turn from that wicked way, dust yourself off and keep walking. The Lord is there. It says a just man fall but a few times, but he get up in the right mind. So I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about people that actually turn their back on the Lord and go a-whoring after other gods. That's what I'm talking about. Don't do it. Jeremiah 17, verse 5. This is what the Lord says. Cursed is the one who trusts in man, who draws strength from mere flesh, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. Whose heart turns away from the Lord. Cursed is that man, is that person Stay connected to Jesus. And keep in mind that he is the vine and we are the branches. We're his branches. As long as we are connected to him, we will have his life flowing through us. But if we disconnect ourselves, we will die for sure. Here's what Jesus said in John chapter, this is what he said in John chapter 15, verse 6. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. They're not good for anything but to be burned. Even in the natural, when a branch is connected to a tree, the branch looks like the tree because all of the substance that's in the tree flows on and on into the branches. But if you cut the branch off from the tree, the branch will still look like the tree for a few days, and then it will start to die. It withers. It returns to the dust of the ground. It returns to dust. That's what happens to us if we disconnect ourselves from the Lord. We're totally separated from God. So now, Christians, now that you have escaped the world, don't entangle yourselves back in the world again. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 20, verse 20 through 22. If they have escaped the corruption of the world by knowing our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and are again entangled in it and are overcome, they are worse off at the end than they were at the beginning. This is a warning even from Peter. Keep in mind that after you have tasted of the goodness of God and have experienced the heavenly things of God's kingdom, if you were to forsake all of that to go back into the world, it will be impossible for you to be brought back to repentance. Why? Because you have turned. You have willingly turned from God and have chosen Satan. That's why that scripture says it's impossible for you to come to be brought back to repentance. It's impossible because you've made up your mind. Your heart is set. You've chosen Satan. Read Hebrews chapter 6, verse 4 through 6. See, I know and I understand that many people are drawn away by other teachings as people pull on you to listen to this person or listen to that person, these ungodly speakers and all of that. They tell you to go here for their opinions about Jesus. Go to this place and hear their opinions about Jesus, which is always a worldly view. Or they'll have you to go and hear their philosophies and their doctrines or their teachings. Those who are influenced by demons, that's who they want you to go and listen to. These teachers are those who appeal to your flesh, your carnal way of thinking. They will reason with you. They will lie and deceive you with their false knowledge. Paul warns us of this in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine, that sound teachings. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myth. Now, I know that the hour of temptation is coming upon God's people. You can see it happening now. But God has promised to keep us from the hour of temptation, so don't give in. If we hold tight to his word, he will keep us. We hold tight to him, he will keep us from this hour of temptation that's going to get worse. Revelation 3, verse 10, because you have kept the word of my patience, I also will keep you from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try or test them that dwell upon the earth. There's a reason why the Holy Spirit tells us that many will depart from the faith. And the reason why the Spirit is telling us this is because this is a warning. The Spirit is giving us a warning, a harbinger, given to us so that we can stay strong in our walk with the Lord. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, the Spirit clearly says that in the latter times some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Hear me. Many Christians get caught up in their search for worldly knowledge, that they leave themselves open to be seduced by demons and the philosophies of men, thus causing them to abandon the faith. There's many reasons why people turn their backs on the Lord. A lot of it is their own selfish desires. That's why we are to put on our whole armor of God in this hour. This is why we hold tight to Jesus like never before, because many false prophets are out there, and Christians are quick to get sidetracked. Now, not all Christians, but there are many Christians that are quick to get sidetracked, deceived, and lied to by very important and influential people, because it's a very important person, influential person, so they must be telling the truth. Nah. They get easily sidetracked by satanic voices, visions, and dreams. And many are pulled away by their own, like I said, their own selfish desires that often overtake them. So remember, guard your hearts. Don't let your hearts fall into unbelief. And you were just talking about all the unbelief a little bit earlier, Pastor Tosila. Don't let no one take your faith. Stay strong.
Right.
Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12. See to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you have a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. Make sure you don't have that unbelieving heart, because you will turn away if you have an unbelieving heart. Guard your heart. Remember that to have the one true living God is to have life. John 17, verse 3, this is Jesus talking in his prayer. He said, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, they might know you, the one, the only true God, the one and only true God, and Christ Jesus, whom thou hast sent. So to turn away from God is death. But God wants us to live. This is what God says to us in this hour, to his people. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Return to the Lord. All you Christians who are backsliding, stop, return to the Lord. Those of you who have allowed yourselves to be overtaken by habits and addictions, by lust and ungodly people who make you think they love you but lie, and by people who teach you false things, false doctrines, false religions, in order to keep you thinking worldly like they think. Those who teach you ungodly ways of living, those who give you false hope, you who have allowed yourselves to be taken away by demons, demons who truly hate you, demons that are bound to do the will of Satan, thus they keep you in bondage as well to Satan. Repent, turn to the Lord and call on his holy name for deliverance. Call on him and seek him with your whole heart, and he will answer you. Keep in mind that God still loves you. It's not over. Just repent. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
You got a chance.
Yes, you got a chance. Woo! Well, that's it for our TNT moment. right now. So if send us some feedback after the show, or contact us if you have any questions, or if you need us to agree with you in prayer. And you can send us, you can contact us by sending us an email, christiantalkr@gmail.com. Send us something. We will reply to you, and you can put your phone number in the email if you like, and we'll call you if you need to talk to us, okay? And don't forget to check out our Christian Talk page on Facebook. Just friend me. T. Myra McCain, just friend me. Click on my – it's open. Anybody can come go to my page. And then go to page – go to pages on the top left-hand side. Click on that, and then go to Christian Talk. And check us out, okay? We will be right back, so don't go away. We'll be right back
with our special guest.
Yes, with our special guest. In the meantime, here's Searchlight on Christian Talk. You are listening to Christian Talk Radio with Pastor Tasila and myself, T. Meyer McCain, and we are here with our special guest, and we're very excited. Our special guest today is Pastor R.L. Rogers. Pastor Rogers is the pastor and founder. Yes, he's the pastor and founder of Paraclesis Ministries. Pastor Rogers has been in the pastorate for over 30 years after receiving his call to the ministry over 40 years ago. He is a man that loves God and certainly have a love and a compassion. He has compassion for people. Pastor Rogers has attended Enon Bible College, Computer Career Connection College, Azusa Pacific University, and King's University. Everyone, let us welcome Pastor R.L. Rogers. Yay, yay. Can you hear all the people? How are you, Pastor Ron? How are you?
I am great. Praise the Lord. I'm well. I'm blessed and certainly a favorite of the Lord. And we thank God for this opportunity.
Yes.
Do you guys hear me well?
We've been doing very well.
Praise God.
And we're happy. Happy to have you on. It's been a long time since we last saw each other, and it's good to know and see that you're still doing well, and you're also still doing what I know that you always do. You're always ministering, and that's such a great thing right there.
Absolutely. So I was so intrigued with the subject matter at hand that you and Pastor T was discussing and teaching. As a matter of fact, with a superb job. And I was thinking about the message I preached some years ago, and it was a subject. The subject was the age of apostasy. And it came back to me talking about it being a great fall in the way of the church, and it happens, you know, it's been going on for quite some time now. But even so, now that this pandemic has set in, we're kind of experiencing even much more of that. And people now are turning from the church, as a matter of fact, sadly to say, with no return in mind. But today, as I'm sitting here thinking, I think in terms of the evolution of man, when I say evolution, I'm talking about the evolving of man. And, you know, the scripture says that a child shall lead them. It's in Matthew's. A child shall lead them, which implies we are to pay attention to many times what children are saying. Many times they can point, you know, to the signs of the time. And if we just simply take heed and not just see them just as a child, but likewise see them as a messenger from God. I know that's kind of invited at your own same time, but it's very much of the truth.
Wisdom from the mouth of babes.
Says the Lord should speak. That's right. Absolutely. Exactly. And I thought, I said, you know, what we see in kids sometimes, whether it be a child, the child be a boy, girl, or a teenager, a young adult, is not necessarily who they are.
Right.
Just because we see them in a particular or a certain way is not necessarily who they are. Now, it's amazing to me because we kind of lock our minds on what we think we see, not realizing that there's time for growth and there's time for evolution there or somewhat evolving from that person that we see. And because they're living life like you and I, and eventually they get to the place as they live life that they transform into another element of life, which we call advancing or maturing into another element of life. I've come to understand, Brother and Sister T, that we are always under construction. I don't care from what phase we're in, we're always under construction, and God is yet still building us. And oftentimes, see, that anytime we find ourselves leaving that element of the faith, or that element of construction, then that says that at that point we're no longer teachable, we no longer desire to grow. Well, in that particular case, at that time, it's just really time to put dirt in your face because I mean, what could you say to anyone else? Because you've exhausted all argument if you fail to receive more or you fail to grow. Many times they do that because we don't want anyone to tell us anything, especially in this day and time. Nobody wants to receive correction. And the Bible says correction is good for the soul. But no one wants to be corrected. Mm-hmm. No one wants to be taught. No one wants to be under the tutelage of others. You know, no one wants to sit and learn. Everybody want to be the head. And you remember that song years ago that says, there's too many chiefs and not enough Indians. Well, that's what we are today, too many chiefs and not enough Indians. If we all came together collectively as one, not a chief, but we also have a leader, a common thread there, I believe that God could do some things in this earth realm that would be absolutely mind-blowing. Because it's the unified endeavor, the unified effort that God himself allow the power of God to begin to expose itself in the lives of others. And that's what you find in Psalm 133.
Right.
It says how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity.
Unity.
Because, and then it depicts the anointing, how the anointing flows. The anointing flows in unity. And once we have a mind to come together, then that in itself tells God that, hey, man, we better do some pretty big things in his name. Now, if you recall the time of the Tower of Babel, you speak in terms of that, how they was trying their best to do through Nimrod, the hunter, who was trying their best to build a tower to heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And even the Lord himself saw that because there was a mind that came together, that there was nothing in their mind that they could not imagine to do. So therefore he said, I got to go down and destroy that thing, such as he did. But what if we come together with a mind to do the right thing? If that came out to destroy it, I think it'd come down to help us to erect it. If it has the right concept, the right idea, the right mindset. And I think we have to get to the place in this life, man, where we understand one thing, that together we'll stand as a Christian individual, as folk who love God, but divided will fall. And that's exactly what you see on that day of when Imran was building the tower. Well, during this age in which we're living in now, and I think in terms of myself as a kid, you know, there's so many things I've gone through, and I don't want to keep rambling here either, but there's so many things that I could talk about in terms of testimony. My God, my God, my God. It's so many things, but I need to focus. I'm going to try to bring this to speed because just to kind of pinpoint some of the areas of my life that God utilized to get me to where I am today. And people look at they look at experiences many times, Pastor T, Sister T, as a bad thing. But it's not a bad thing because an experience experiences is what allow you to go into experiential knowledge. And you only have two kinds. You have experimental knowledge, and you have experiential knowledge. Experimental knowledge is things you're going through at the time you've never gone through before. Experiential knowledge is something you've already accomplished, you've gone through, you know, you understand it. Therefore, you're grown by it. And as you do that, the strength of God sits on the inside. Why? Because it's something we've already accomplished, something we know that God will do, can do, has done. And we know that the will of God has been robbed, and we know that the resilience of going through induces such a wisdom and such a strength and such an ability that in that we're more than a conqueror. Why? Because Jesus Christ is the one that allowed us to be there at the time, and right there he was embracing us because our confidence and our belief was in him. It's pretty much predicated upon the belief of man. If you could just only believe that all things are possible to him that believe. Now, notice I believe the predicate here is belief, the belief of man. And when we tend to lend credence to our belief factors, then I believe that's when God kind of goes to work for us. Hallelujah. He goes to work for us. And we don't necessarily see what he's doing, how he's doing it, but the belief says he's doing it. Me as a child, growing up, you know, utterly poor, you know, and didn't know much about God, but I love church. I love church, my God. I love church. I love to sing the old hymns. And they would tell you in a minute, man, 6 years old, call the Rogers, And I start singing the new song, I Need Thee Every Hour. And then another song is called Blessed Assurance, you know. And I know you guys know all these songs. You're probably better told than I am, but I'm saying you know all these things. And this was the crux of our salvation and our faith, you know. Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine, over the fortress of glory divine. Yeah, and I'm an heir of salvation, praise by God.
Okay.
The Holy of His Spirit, and once in His blood. And that's why one of the goes on. He's talking about the blood, the blood, the blood, as you all so eloquently shared earlier. But I won't get there right now because I really want to get into the crux of how God led me to be where I am today, which I didn't know, had no clue, had no inkling. And matter of fact, I would have thought I would have been the furthest thing, man, that God would put His hand on and say, preach. And that's the honest God's truth. And especially when you're hell to get out there, man, you don't think in terms of being God's hand been on you, and you don't see it many times until you get into faith to get in the house. Then you look in retrospect and said, my God, look what the Lord has done, and it's marvelous in His sight. Hallelujah. Glory to God in my sight.
Mm-hmm.
And so back in some years ago, after leaving Paris, Texas, I couldn't wait to get out of the place because I couldn't stand it, I'll be honest with you. As a matter of fact, it was like a plague to me. And I couldn't wait till the day that I got out of school and got out of the city. And as a matter of fact, out of Texas, period. And ended up in the Navy in California and got there in California. And through Birmingham, Washington first and then in California. And had a wonderful time, loved the place, and had not even thought. An inkling of the thought ever returning back to Texas again. God knows what He's doing, doesn't He? And that's all I can say with it. God knows what He's doing. And in the midst of us thinking we're smart and we're sharp, you know, we got it together.
Mm-hmm.
But God knows where you are, more so than yourself. And I end up in Oakland, California, you know, on a ship, getting ready to go over to they call it the Westpac cruise, where the Westpac trip there, going into parts of the Philippines and Hawaii and parts of Japan and Africa and all these different places. And not understanding that God was merely shaping my life. The functionality of Ron Rogers was going through all of these different channels to get to where He has me to come or to become. And back into the United States and, you know, drinking and acting the fool and doing everything else that most young folk do. But always when I got to that edge, I knew to back up. For some reason, I knew to back away. And God always sustained me. It doesn't matter what I did, how high I got, and I hope I'm not offending anyone, I still understood the power of prayer. I would get on my knees every time before I close my eyes, and I'd say the Lord's Prayer. That's all I knew how to pray. And been knowing that since I was about 6 years old. Matter of fact, one scripture that stuck with me from the age of 6 years old to right now is Ephesians 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for it is right. It is honor thy mother and the father, that days may be young, that days may be long upon this earth. Now, I knew that at 6 years old, and I kept that. My heart was always embedded in that particular passage of Scripture. And I believe that it's the condition of a man's heart, that God saves us, spares us, and gives us long life. And as I preached that sermon some time ago, too, you know, it's a heart's condition. But it's amazing how, as I look in retrospect, how all the things I've done, and I've done some terrible things, I mean, even with the drug world, you know, it's amazing to me how God sustained me in all of that. Things I'd done that was lethal, and I mean absolutely lethal. But yet, here I sit tonight talking about Jesus Christ Him crucified. And coming up to the which I'm coming back from overseas, it's amazing. I get back into Northern California. And, you know, we go get up the ship, we have fun, and we do all the things we normally do, and go out and party and hold 9 yards, and get caught up in a little tingle at one point, you know. I had got into a little squall, and you know, I don't like to talk about fighting and all that stuff, but I did, and I ended up hurting the guy pretty bad. And But I felt bad, felt sorry for him. I don't know why. I couldn't understand why this guy tried to hurt me, and I did nothing wrong to the guy, just defending myself. And when I put him down, my heart was hurting. Never could understand that. How in the world are you going to beat somebody down and then go to him and try to embrace him and say, man, I'm sorry? Don't, doesn't make sense, does it? That doesn't even come together.
Mm.
And so, you know, as the Lord would have it, I mean, I did some more of that and still felt bad. I could never feel good about jumping on somebody, beating them down, and walking away. I couldn't do that. My heart just went along with just went that way. Being raised the way I was raised in Paris, Texas, with the mother that left us in 1969, I think there's a part of me that was enraged. There's another part of me that had a whole lot of love. And one of the rage elements, and I say this, and I normally don't even talk about it, but I will now, that I watched a man kill my mother in 1969. And I think from that 1969 moment in Wichita Falls, Texas, it took me to a place in life, it was a dark place, where I needed help. I needed someone to talk to. I needed somebody to take me by my hand, somebody to embrace me. And back during that time, blacks didn't get that kind of attention. We didn't have that kind of money. We didn't have that kind of insurance. So we had to fend
right.
the best way we possibly could. And the Lord blessed us to grow beyond that. And I think that was my rage back during that time in the early in the middle 70s, right around 74, 75, 76. I think that was my thing, was the rage, trying to get rid of it. So I had to probably see somebody in the street. And I told him, look here, I need some help. I need some help. I said, because my temper is getting the best of me. And I'm a hidden folk man. When I get done, I feel sorry for them. And they do give me some help. They talk with me and ask me pertinent questions pertaining to my attitude and what makes me angry. And I a lot of things I wouldn't tell them. Finally, I broke down and told them of my plight, what was going on in my life. And they helped me quite a lot. But I didn't get the ultimate help until, I guess it might have been 1979, thereabout, after getting married. I had, in 75, I had taken a blow to the head. I got shot in the head in 1975, you know, fighting, because I had broken another dude's jaw before that, and because the fellow was afraid of me. And I understand that, you know, but if I had to see him, saw the guy today, I would embrace him, because that's what I'm talking about. Pastor Tim, when I'm talking about things about being under construction, God is constantly building you if you learn to pay attention. He's constantly allowing things to happen, but yet sustaining you through it all because he has a greater call upon your life. More than we can even imagine, folk begin to look up to you and see things in you that you didn't see in your own self. And from that, you know, God spring us forward. And finally gets out of the military, and I end up serving, not serving God, but I'm still kind of clubbing a little bit. But I got to the place where I didn't want to club them. I didn't want any of that. I wanted to serve God. This is in 1979, as I fast forward. I wanted to just serve God. I really wanted to find him and do the things, you know, that allowed him to do the things for me that I couldn't do for myself. And in 1979, my wife called me. I'd known her from 1974. I met her, my wife, in 1974, May. And she called me. She left from back home in 77, and she called me in 78, and started talking again, and somehow we ended up marrying in 79. And, of course, we've been married ever since. That's been 42 years now. And we thank God for that longevity. But when she called me the second time, first time we went out, and the second time I said, you know what? Told her, I don't want to go out and party no more. I don't want to go to no club, any of that. I just want to find a good church to get into and serve God. And her response to me was, you know what, Ronnie, she calls me Ronnie, only person really that do that. She says, I do too. I said, I can walk with that. And we started serving God, got saved, and I've been doing it ever since. And didn't realize that I was running from God. And, man, anybody that was around me knew I was running from him. I mean, the preaching thing wasn't me. Because I told the Lord that I was not articulate, inclined, not at all. I said, that's my brother. You have him. And my brother, who was a he was an academy guy, came out of the Navy Academy of Advanced Nuclear Physics, and was a preacher at 15 years old and could walk and preach the gospel like crazy, like an old man. That wasn't me. I was intimidated by that. And when he put his hands on me and said, "You are the man," that's been, I cried, man. And the way it happened, and I'm going to share this and show it too, because I want to get into another element here with Word. There was a lady who was a prophet next door. She's a prophetess. And my wife had gone to one of her prayer meetings, and in that prayer meeting, Linda received the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in the tongues. Well, she came mm-hmm. home to me, and she told me of the experience, which is next door. And I said, "Well, what happened?" And because I didn't know much of anything, she didn't either. And she told me what happened. She said, "Ryan," she said, "I just began to speak." And I said, "Well, what?" She said, "Because we just started calling on the name of Jesus, Jesus." And I said, "We got in the middle of our bed," and she said, "Come on, let's do it. You can do it too." So I'm looking at her and saying, "Do what?" And so we got in the middle of the dream. She said, "Just say Jesus." So I said it, and then she started saying meticulous something, and so I said what she said. And she and I bust out laughing. Well, you know, God forgive me, but I laughed. She said, "Ronnie, you're not being serious." I said, "Well, I'm saying what you're saying." But nonetheless, you know, I didn't receive the Holy Ghost then, but she had. And fast forward about a month after that, I decided to go on a man's advance. We call them advance. Many people call them retreats. We call them advance. And that first advance I went on, we had such a high time. I never in my life seen so many men pray in the spirit, and I'm talking about praying, not playing, praying. I've never seen this.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt so good about it. So me and another good friend of mine, Dr. Bernstein, who lives at in Upland, it was he and I together on the same day. We two Baptist boys, and we are on our knees looking at everybody else. So when they start speaking, I start speaking too. Now yeah. By faith, but I start saying something. And when they got done, the next morning, we went into a, what they call a devotion. They would sing a song, they would testify, clap their hands, and play the timbre and all that. Well, I wasn't used to all of that, but it felt good. So I started singing a song, and nobody was just a man. I started singing a song myself, and I started singing "Shine on Me." And I got to one point when I said, "Sometimes it make you want to hum." And when I looked up, the bishop was in the room, looking me right in my mouth. And he just had a big smile on his face. And I didn't know much about him. I just know I was a part of a church. That's it. And we had a wonderful time. Then that next Sunday, we had the Sunday night service, but that Sunday morning, he preached real hard. I mean, the church was packed. And we preached a song. I mean, he preached so hard that when he hollered, "Who want to be saved?" I jumped up with my cool self. We land just right, blazer on. You know, I always wore diaper clothes. And all out of character. And ran down. I said, "Oh, my God, what am I doing?" It was like some picked me by the seat of my pants and threw me down almost. And I went down there, he put his hands on me, and prayed for me, and told me, "Open your mouth," and I just began to speak, and I started saying something. I don't know, I just said something. But it wasn't for a few days that I really received the actual manifestation, because that Sunday, put the mic in my mouth, and they were singing that song, "A Change Has Come Over Me." I don't know if you guys ever heard that song by Hawkins, what's her name? It was Hawkins' ex-wife. Tremaine?
The sister?
Yeah, Tremaine, yes. Yeah, the song, yes. Yeah, a change has come over me. And I sung that song, and the churchman went up, and I got to crying and going on. I said, "Oh, my goodness. Boy, this shit feels good. I want to get a mic back." But I didn't know how to song. So I finally got to that event. I went down in Jesus' name and came back. And 2 days later, I was backing out of my garage in the back of the building, and all of a sudden this warmth came over me. And when that warmth came over me, I started speaking in tongues. I was praising him already. And when that warmth came over me, it was like a heat almost, and just came over my body, and I felt it so beautiful. Oh, it felt so good. I didn't want it to stop. And I spoke in tongues fluently. From that time where I was going on the way back, and I couldn't tell where I was going. I was just into the spirit that deep. And got back home, and I shared with my wife what happened. And I mean, I have been set from that day to this day, and I never turned around. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Many folk doubt it. Some folk talk about it. but I have the reality of it. And now I've said to you guys earlier that you're always evolving. I don't care who you are, how great you think you are. We're always evolving into what God would have us to be. And we're always in the construction. And I know then I was being built. And the next time we took the men to the mountain, it was me as the leader. Because I grew like God gave me a quantum leap growth. And I took the men to the mountain the next time, had a wonderful staff. And we had about, anywhere from like between 90 and 100 and something men in the mountains. And we had such a high time that people, man, I mean, brothers that came that didn't know God, I mean, they got what God had for them. Wonderful time, not realizing what God was doing to me and what God was doing through me. From that, I took what we call it the worship service. Back in my day, we called it the Baptist should call it devotion, but we take the worship service, and I tell you, I've never in my life seen such a witness and such an experience. As kids, I'm talking about 4 and 5 years old, speaking in tongues, walking out crying, and the Spirit of the Lord got so high that, my God, you know, the preacher got him, couldn't even preach. And I've never seen nothing like this before. And, you know, certainly you're an old country boy like me, you know, that was kind of unheard of as far as I was concerned. But nonetheless, God does things in a way that sometimes is mind-blowing to you and I, you know, with understanding to others. And folk watch me from that day to this day to see my consistency in the gospel. And when I met you all, Brother and Sister D, I hadn't come down off the mountain, but I was high. And I think, I don't know if I met you all at my church. Did you come to my church at the time? At Blood Covenant? I'm trying to think. I think you guys came in.
It was at the school first, I think, right?
At the school, yeah.
And you invited me. Yeah, and then you invited me to your church.
Okay. All right, absolutely. All right. Yeah, and but anyway, during that particular time, there was an experience at that time that I was having in terms of the pastor, because there's so much more I had to understand. So much more I had to learn, and of course it's been taking years, and there's still much more that I need to understand, need to know. But through all of that, God had shown me that this term, and my brother gave me this T-shirt from his church right here in Dallas. He was in Garland, and the shirt says, "I'm under construction," and I have it right now in my door to my right here, and I said, "That's a powerful statement." Because as long as you're under construction, you're not caught in the middle. That means that you're progressing, you're going forward. But if you're stuck in construction and you're staying there, that means that that's indicative of going backwards. Because if you're stuck in the middle, then you can't go forward. If you can't go forward, you don't have a testimony. You don't have a testimony until you complete your end. And I saw that when he gave me the T-shirt, and I said, "Oh my God!" I said, "This is beautiful." So I took the T-shirt. I wear it all the time, and I know, and it's a great witness, because when people want to know what does that mean, and I share, and as a matter of fact, it has the scripture references on the very bottom of that T-shirt, and that is that everything God takes us through. Now hear what I'm saying: everything God takes us through and allows us to go through, doesn't matter how tough it is to build Christian character in you. It's not to take you back. Mm-hmm. It's not to be saved. It's to launch you forward. James says it this way, and that's when I want to go into the word a little bit here. He says, "My brethren, count on all joy when you fall into diverse temptations or different experiences, different things. So knowing that this is the trying of your faith." Think about that. The trying of your faith. But let faith let patience have her perfect works in your life, that you may be entire or complete, lacking nothing. I want you to think about that just a minute, because that in itself is a beautiful testimony, because you don't know what God is doing until you allow you to come out. And when he allows you to come out, my God, you come out as pure gold. Many folks get stuck because they go to crime and Hickam and Shawn that God is unfair and all of that. And he's really not, you know. And so he says, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces an endurance or patience, and let endurance have its perfect, it says its perfect work here, that you may be perfect and complete like nothing. But in the original King James, it would say, let patience have her perfect works in your life, that you may be lacking nothing. Now, the term, the context in which it's put in, which tells me that faith, as well as promoted by through patience, is written in the context of its feminine gender, which implies that it produces something. Faith,
right,
as it went through patience, always produces something. And that's why it behooves you and I to stay in the fight, stay in the fire, because where there is no resistance, there is no strength. And God wants us to become strong through all he allow us to go through or to contend with. And the resilience that he's placed in us is a wonderful thing. Deal with it, because God does not do anything without purpose. And you're fine if you're hanging in there. There's no reason to become an apostate. No reason. As a matter of fact, you find all the reason in the world to hang in there and to become plentiful or become fruitful in where God has you, because you stuck in there, you stayed in the race. Because believe it or not, behind that shear, behind that wall, is a blessing that's waiting on you and I. It's waiting.
Mm-hmm.
And many times it happens because we find ourselves faltering because we don't tend to see God. We stop right there. That's indicative of stepping in the middle. Not understanding behind that wall, you can't see where God is taking you, but by faith you ought to have something on the inside that says God is doing something. Because that next verse in Jane would say that if any of us lack wisdom, let him ask of God. If you don't understand, you don't know, then inquire. You have that privilege, that right to go boldly to the throne of God that you may obtain mercy and grace at this particular time. But it has to be, you have to lend credence to the tenacity that God has given you to keep going. And I say this to anybody, whatever you do, don't stop. Because God is a good God, because that's his nature. He can't do no bad. He can't do no wrong. So why would you turn and go another direction? Stay in the race and stay the course. If you stay the course, you can only come out to the good end of things. Why? Because it is a good God that offers where you're going. Good is the nature of God. He can't falter. He can dibble and dabble in bad. He can only be good. And so when we learn to hang in there, regardless what we go through, and I tell you, all that I've gone through in my life, and I didn't go back and tell you half of the things I've gone through, but I can see the hands of God. And from that, God constantly took me from one place to another place, from one place to another place. And all I've done, from the passing out to the lethal things I've done in life, lethal, that God sustained and had a sinner man to stand up and said, let the man alone. He's going to be okay. And I can see it happening right now. I couldn't see it. I'm saying in my mind's eye, I could see it because I was too far gone. And twice it happened. And each time I had hurt some folk, and they could have came back and struck me 50 times, and I never know who did it. But God had an angel to watch over me, to prevent me from being hurt or being subjected to anything that was anti-Christ. And I can say that today, and I can look in retrospect and say, praise the Lord. God done a marvelous thing with Brother Ron and allowed my talents and abilities to be utilized in the body. And I feel good about it. And right now, with the mindset that I have, it's a mindset to go forward and to do the things that I know that God has put in my charge to do. And I would say that to anybody, whatever God's given you to do, do it. Whatever you find in your hands to do, do it. And do it well, or as someone, some scripture would say, as unto the Lord. Not to be glorified, not to poke the point at you and say, oh, he's this, he's that. No, you are nothing without God. Give God the glory and learn and understand that we must humble ourselves under the almighty hands of God, that we may be exalted in due time. Because humility always do what? Exalts, always. Never take you down. So when James said, Peter says, that we have to humble ourselves under the almighty hands of God, that he may exalt us. He tells us to resist the devil and flee from him, because enemy's going to come. I believe one of the scriptures says, whenever I go to do good, as Paul, the Apostle Paul said, whenever I go to do good, evil is always present. So you can expect some contention. You can expect some time for things not to go exactly where you planned it, but stay the course. Whatever you do, stay the course. Don't let no one detour you. Because for them to detour you means that you have succumbed to a false doctrine, a false idol, a false hearing, whatever the case may be. But you want to stay the course and listen for the voice of God, because he will not fail you. I said all the time, I said again in my close, whatever you do, obey the Holy Ghost, because he will not lead you wrong. Right? God bless you all. They keep our presence all as well. And that we were gleaning and got something out of portions of my testimony. And I didn't mean to jump all over the page, but I did want to share just a few nuggets here that we could kind of hold on to. Thank you, brother and sister T. Love you for that.
I think that our members or people that are listening, they're used to us going everywhere. So that's good. But you said who showed up while you were at church? I couldn't hear the word. You said when you went to that retreat and you were at church, you were speaking in tongues and someone walked in.
Yeah, at one time I was in the pulpit. I was doing praise and worship. And two particular times, and when you talk about, I haven't quite got to you, but I'll get to it now. But two of the young ladies was in the parking lot on the other side, and they heard the church going up in a blaze, and they heard me doing this one song, and I put so much energy into a praise and worship service. And they said, oh, since Pastor Ron said, we took out running, and we both failed trying to get there. He said, do you remember Sister Haina? I said, I do. And she said, we failed, and every time I think of it, we just laugh. But when we got there, the spirit was so high that everybody was crying. Folks were on the floor speaking in tongues. Folks came in the building speaking. In the building, holding the veil. Just came in, walked in, and got in the presence and fell on the face and started speaking in tongues. And the kids and those in the audience, I'm talking about 4 and 5 years old, had their hands out crying and speaking in tongues. Never seen that before in my life. And you know what? I long for that again, because I haven't seen it since then. And that's one thing I say about that church, man. If they don't do anything else, they're going to praise God, man, to the fullest. And when they get to that utopia, you're going to see the works of the Holy Ghost, all over the place. And it seems like the church, man, is full of folk, man, that have received the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking other tongues. Be a beautiful, beautiful experience.
And you know, I love that, because Pastor T and I, as we would go to conferences or visit a church, we would see children 8, 9, 10, 11 in the front walking in with their Bibles in their hand, walking all the way up to the front and sitting in the front seats and opening their Bibles and reading and waiting for the pastor to preach. And
praise
I would
God.
Love that. And I long for that also. You know, with these children, and you could see that somebody's after them. I was praying for them tonight, because you know the enemy's after them, because he wanted to take them from that space. But earlier today, it's so funny that you were talking about the kids. To a member at our church, I was just telling today that the kids are going to teach the parents.
Absolutely.
And they're going to give them... It's going to be led by these kids. Because this generation, they're really interesting. They're no joke. You know, they know right from wrong. God has put it in them. It's innate in them. They have determined.
Like,
they want to be like the Father. They want to be like the Lord. They want to
Absolutely.
They don't want to be clubbing and drinking and partying and mishandling the family finances and all that. They've suffered. They want to be more like Jesus.
Absolutely. It's like they walk in with this inability to just understand him. And you look at these kids today and you say, my God. But then at the same time, at a high rate, you have many that have not yet gotten there. And your heart hurt because you see them outside doing wrong. And you try your best to minister or to reach them by winning their confidence and hoping they would follow you. Because we have a very high percentage of young folk that are out of church. And many was in church before the pandemic. And now it's hard to get in, even some of the parents to go to church, you know. And I think that, it's going to take a move of God. And sometime it doesn't happen until atrocities begin to set upon us, then we run to the house, you know. And and I think that's what we have, you know, during this particular time. Why wait until, you know, and then run to the house? Why don't you go before? That's like that song we used to sing years ago. You know, you don't wait until things happen, start praying. So you assemble a temple every day. And that song said, Lord, I'm sending up my timber every day. And so when time things happen, you got so much already stored up, man. You probably need to put in the face right then and have an answer already before you fall on your face because you already got something stored up in heaven.
Amen. Yeah, you're right.
I don't know if you guys remember that song. It's such a beautiful. See, a lot of these old songs that we're throwing away, we have this. I have this thing about me that I try my best to gather them in my heart, and I sing them by myself, you know. And I hear that song, Lord, I'm sending up my timber every day, you know. And I said, Lord, where are the songs gone? Where are they? And those are the songs that minister to the crooks of our heart and salvation. And it calls you to hold on. Now, I know a lot of this contemporary stuff, a lot of folk like, and I must be honest with you, I'm not big on contemporary music, not that big at all. However, I do like some of the songs, and every now and then I listen to a few of them. But I love them old hymns, and not because I'm old folky, you know, that's what I love. And, you know, I know my wife likes a lot of the contemporary music, too, and she didn't know old songs. She tend to, I want to hear more of the time, say all that old stuff. Well, she goes, all that old stuff. But I love that old stuff.
Yeah, it had a message in it. That's why.
Ooh, my God, doesn't it? And then it has a propensity too of helping my memoir. You know, I can look in retrospect and I can see certain folk who are now gone home with the Lord. I mean, matter of fact, all of them are gone. And you know, Mama Lita, Mama Ella, Mama Jessie, and these are folks. Mama Ella was a lady who got sick, and she was our next door neighbor. If we got sick, everybody will holler, go and get Mommy Ella. Go and get Mommy, because she's the one to listen to A.A. Allen all night long. And you can hear her over there speaking in tongues. No. And I did not know what it was then, but this day, this particular day, I'm talking about 50-something years later, I still remember her tongues. And that tongue was these words, hey, Beyonce. You holler, hey, Beyonce. Late at night, this is A.A. Allen. And a man who performed seven miracles. Now, mind you, that same lady had somehow had that transfer, that a mantle, into her life. And when my foster mother Mildred went in a coma one night at the house, we had a little shotgun house across the street, very poor. I mean, poor is poor. And she came over when God helped her down the hill. And at that time, she must have been in her 80s. And brought her down the hill and brought her in the house, and she laid her hands on her and hollered, hey, Beyonce! And she popped out of the coma. I'm telling you. And she went to the Holiness Church, and I didn't realize at the time what the Holiness Church stood for. You know, I figured you're the Holiness Church, man. You're in a cult. You know, the only church that's a real church is the Baptist Church. That's all I thought. You know? But then when I looked at what she was speaking about, it was the Baptist Deacon, the man that's in the corner. you know, and do anything other than that. But Mama Ella had something special, man, I'm telling you. And she was 90-something years old, and I left the military and came out to see her in 73, 74 somewhere. Went by the house, and because a daughter, came down and got her and took her back to Dallas to take care of her. I went there to the room to see her, and I said, Mama Ella, you don't know who I am, do you? She said, yes, I do. And she was 90, no, she's probably about 101 or 2 then. And I said, who am I? She said, Ronnie. You say that? I looked at him and you know what? It just won my heart. And I'm telling you, all those days, I call it sitting in the company of wisdom. I'm always around a bunch of old folks. Can I be honest with you? Even to this day. My good friend right now, Dr. Brewster, you might know him. He's right there in San Bernardino, man. Had a great man of God, and I enjoy him. He's right there on what street is that? Mount Vernon? Is it Mount Vernon or Vernon? What is it? Is it Mount Vernon in San Bernardino?
Well, it's both. It's a Mount Vernon and a Vernon.
I think it's Mount Vernon. Okay. But just before you get to baseline, there's a church called Bethesda House of Mercy. That's him right to the right. And he and I go out and meet him, tough man, and we talk. And see, but the only thing about him, his doctrine is a bit, I think it's a bit skewed. I don't say much of anything because, you know, again, he's my friend. I'm not trying to offend nobody. But nonetheless, he's a great man of God. And I enjoy listening to him. Now he's into a practical theology, and of course I study systematic theology, and pastoral studies. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of you know, when I look at the book, it talks about the Trinity. It talks about the Trinitarian doctrine, which is really no such thing scripturally at all. However, we tend to embrace it and make it that. But I'm the kind of guy that if you go into talk theology, let's talk the word. Let's not talk about what I think or what I heard or what I believe. No, let's see what the word says. If the word says it, then that should be your belief factor right there. I was going to say tonight before I got started that I was going to kiss the word, and I say kiss without one of the S's. And that's that. If I kissed it with both S's, I mean, keep it simple, stupid. But if I kiss it with one S, it means just keep it simple. And the word is simple enough for us to understand, you know, without complexing or perplexing the issues and mixing things together. But I think we make it a little tough, man, when we tend to include the depth of what we think is deep, Hebrew and Greek sometimes, which really explains it and fits the same thing it says in English, you know. And I think that, of course, I love the word, you know, and I love keeping it simple. But I think we tend to make things so perplexed, man, by our delivery in terms of trying to get deep. It ain't necessary. And can I tell you why it's not necessary?
Right.
If we ever go in to reach people, man, we must understand one thing: that there is more. There's more simple people in the world than there are deep. So then if I'm trying to reach the masses, then what should I preach? Something simple. Be simple. The gospel is simple. Jesus Christ died for the remission of my sins. Why did he die? To redeem mankind and make over to God. That's simple. That's very simple in a nutshell. I don't have to use the Greek to explain that. I don't have to use the Hebrew. I know that in the Old Testament we see the epiphany of God all through of Jesus all through the Old Testament, all through it, and you know what it is, you know, and you simply utilize that and then explain the context of it in the best you possibly can, because everything that is stated, matter of fact, one thing I said 7 minutes ago, the Old Testament, I forgot what it was now, and what it did, it showed the picture of the blood of Christ, talking about the blood that's sort of the doorposts. Exodus 17, when the children of Israel was crying for water, and the Lord told Moses, said, Mother, what do you have in your hand? He said, go and smite the rock. This time, smite the rock. He smote the rock, and water came out of the rock. And therefore, the children of Israel, they ate, they still wanted some meat. They gave them all the kind of meat, man, came all out the nose and everywhere else. you know. And then the next time he told him, he said, now go and speak to the rock. This time he smited the rock because out of anger, which means anger doesn't
right.
work, does not work the righteousness of God. Now that rock was mm-hmm. Jesus. We know the epiphany
mm-hmm.
there. The rock was Jesus from the onset. When he smited the rock and water came out, what came out of the side of Jesus? Water and blood.
Mm-hmm. Water.
Life
and absolutely.
And so, you know, these are the kind of things I think that we need to recognize, you know, that's very simple. If you explain it properly, people understand now why it really means, what it really means now to be saved, what it means to allow
Amen.
Jesus to be applied to our lives, right? I don't want to go over my time, y'all. I'm not trying to take up all the time, but
I want you to do, and we have about 4 minutes left, and I just would like for you to pray for our listeners out there. And
okay.
and just bless them. Go ahead.
Absolutely. Father God, in the name of Jesus and the power that's in your blood, we thank you now for your anointing divine. We thank you, Father God, how the blood of Jesus, oh God, is now covering and saturating even the air as we speak. Bless the audience, oh God, the listening audience, that they may have received something from God. We're not here, Father God, out of shape, form, or fashion, but we're here, Father God, because we have a sincere desire that men, women, boys, and girls may learn the ways of God and to achieve those things that you have set forth in our life to achieve. Bless our destiny, Father, to be one that we can lay hands on because we are bumped in the right direction. We know that through the Holy Ghost of God, if we allow him to lead us, he will never lead us wrong. And, Father, we thank you for your divine word because your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And, Father, we thank you that as our path is lit up, we know how to walk because it is daytime. We can see. But there comes a time when it's night, Father, except the light of Jesus shine before us. We stumble in the darkness. But we thank you right now because the great I am is on the inside of us. Who come to light up the world, to light us up that the world may see that we are like a city that cannot be hid. We are a lamp, oh God, that cannot be put out, cannot be extinguished. And, Father, we thank you for that right now. I thank you for Pastor and Pastor T, oh God, that you just continue to use them in this venue and that you bless folk to come seeking them out, oh God, come to the church of God to find them so that they too may put their hands around them and embrace them and love them as I know they would. And, Father, we thank you that they would feel that love of God that run from heart to heart and to breast in the name of Jesus, Yeshua HaMashiach, in the name of Jesus the Christ. We see it has been done. We count it as done in Jesus' holy name. Now, Father God, in Jesus' name, reach beyond the borders. If millions, oh God, has been ministered to, Father God, let this word go out as a magnet, oh God, that would attach itself to them and draw them in, wherever they may be. That might not come to, oh God, where Brother and Sister Tamar is. But Father God, they would come wherever the closest place is to them. But I ask you this of you, Father, to lead them into the right place. Because many of them are vulnerable, Father, and they're gullible. And, Father, many of them just want to be saved and will receive almost anything. But bless them to sit under the right tutelage, O God, that they may receive from you, that they may eat out of your hands, O God, and that your anointing, O God, your anointed hand would rest upon them through the teachings and the studies, O God, of others, wherever they may go and wherever they may be. Father, we give you praise whenever we glorify you. Now let the anointing, Father God, flow from Brother Pastor Tamara down, oh God, to the first lady, oh God, down to the scripture of the garment, oh God, that all of those that are sitting under his tutelage, oh God, will follow the anointing, oh God, as it saturates their life as well. Because we know, oh God, that the anointing flows down and not up. And we give your name the praise. Father, your word says, how good and how pleasant is for brethren to dwell together in unity. What is like the anointing that run down the beard, even Aaron's beard, said that sit upon the mountain, Father. And Father, that also descended upon the skirts of the garment. And now, Father God, we thank you that as it is going to come down through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, blessed to cover each of us, O God, in a way, O God, that as we speak as oracles of God. We speak as the power of God. As we speak, Father God, we speak, O God, as the anointing would have us to do so, like a magnet, would draw folk in. And we give your name praise. Bless the Holy Ghost to fall, O God, in the parish, O God, in the name of Jesus and abroad. And we thank you for doing it now. In the name of Jesus to Christ, we give your name praise, and we glorify you now. In Jesus' holy name. And now to the King of eternal and immortal God, invisible God, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever, in the name of Jesus the Christ and the power that is in your blood. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. God bless you.
On Amen. That note, we have to say goodbye. We've ran out of time, and we just want to thank you, Pastor, for coming on the program and blessing us. It was just a blessing
thank
to have you,
you
on, and we thank the Lord for you, and may God continue to bless you, your wife, your ministry, and everything that you put your hand to do, because we know that when you do things, it's for the glory of God. So anything you want
Amen.
To say, Pastor Tisila?
Now, I just want to thank Pastor Ron for his anointing and being a blessing to all the people, sharing the anointing and the blessing God has placed on him with all the people that's out there. And I just wanted the other thing that I always say is that the only thing Jesus is looking for when you come into the kingdom is him seeing himself in you. Christ
Amen.
In
Amen.
The hope of glory.
The hope of glory.
Amen. Amen. Good night, everybody. God bless. We'll be here next week. Bye-bye.
Okay, God bless you, Pastor
Bye-bye.
Steve. Thank you again. Bye for now.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.